Welcome to MCC Detroit, on the web at mccdetroit.org. And now, here's this week's message.
First reading today is from Deuteronomy chapter 18, verses 15 through 20. Yahweh, our God, He will raise for you a prophet like me among your own people. To that prophet, you must listen. This is what you've asked of your God at Mount Horeb on the day of the assembly, when you said, "Let us not hear again the voice of Yahweh our God, nor see the great fire again, or we will die." And Yahweh said to me, "This is well said. I will raise up for them a prophet like you from among their people, into whose mouth I will put my words. And that person will tell them all that I command. If any person will not listen to the words in which the prophet speaks in my name, I myself will call that person to answer for it. But if a prophet presumes to speak in my name a message that I have not commanded to be spoken, or speaks in the name of other gods, that prophet will die."
Please rise for the reading of the gospel. Today's reading is from Mark 1, 21 through 28. After calling his first disciples, Simon and Andrew, James and John, together they walked on. They came to Capernaum, and on the Sabbath, Jesus entered the synagogue and began to teach. The people were spellbound by his teaching, because Jesus taught with an authority that was unlike their religious scholars. Suddenly, a person with an unclean spirit appeared in their synagogue. It shrieked, "What do you want from us, Jesus of Nazareth? Have you come to destroy us? I know who you are, the Holy One of God." Jesus rebuked the spirit sharply, "Be quiet, come out of that person." At that, the unclean spirit convulsed violently the possessed person, and with a loud shriek, it came out. All who looked on were amazed. They began to ask one another, "What is this? A new teaching, and with such authority. This person even gives orders to unclean spirits, and they obey." Immediately, news of Jesus spread throughout the surrounding region of Galilee. This is the word of God for the people of God.
Praise be to God indeed. I am very excited to be here this morning, and I want to say thank you for the privilege of bringing the message today. I guess I have to thank my pastor because he's the one that kind of dictates who gets to come up here, right? But I thank all of you, too, because you don't have to sit there and listen. I am truly grateful. I'm also delighted that you have welcomed me and my partner, Reverend Adrian, into this family of faith, this community of believers. I believe in talking things out. Y'all may not know that about me because you didn't know me growing up, and so you might think I'm a fighter. You know, like in school when bullies come up against you, you're supposed to punch them out. I never did. In fact, when I was a child, whenever somebody wanted to try to pick a fight with me, I would just tell them, "Sticks and stones may break my bones, but words will never harm me." And I'd actually walk away. Even if they pushed me or something and hit me once, I'd still just walk away. Leave them there screaming like somebody crazy, all those ugly things at me. Just wasn't going to go there. It never made sense to me that people actually have to come to blows, you know, just because they disagree. Well, I think I believed that back then, and it really did work for me to keep me out of trouble. I mean, I never had to go to principal office for fighting, never lost a job because I, you know, went postal on somebody at work. So it was a good thing to just hold on to that, words will never harm me. But the older I get, I kind of know better. It's true, words can harm us, and they do. I know I've had words hurt my feelings real bad, maybe even harm me somewhat psychologically over time. We don't have to look too far to recognize people who've been verbally abused. You know, they may not have broken bones, but they'll have a broken spirit. They'll be hurt, maybe more deeply than somebody hitting them. Well, words are real things, maybe even living things, and they do have power. And I don't see how anybody can really dispute that fact. We can see how real this is in the words of the Bible. From Genesis, where God simply speaks, "Let there be," and there was. Things happened. "Let there be light," there was light. "Let there be water," the water appeared. "Let there be living things in the water," just the spoken word, things happened. And all through the prophets, when God's word is spoken, things appeared and happened just like God said they would. And even with Jesus and the early apostles, as they spoke, it was so. Jesus said to Lazarus, "Come out. Come out of that tomb." And he did walk out from the dead. In the story we read today, Jesus used those words again, "Come out," this time to an evil spirit that was possessing a man. And that evil spirit had to come out. Sometimes I wish we could make that command universally. Come out, all you people who are different like me, so the world can see us and maybe instantaneously we could self-reveal. Wouldn't people be surprised? A lot of folk would be real shocked in that moment. I used to pray for a purple day where everybody just kind of turned purple for the moment. But come out. Come out. That was all Jesus needed to say, and it happened. And even Peter and the early apostles often would just speak the word, and it would be. There's a story, another story in the New Testament about Peter going up to the temple to pray, and a man sitting there who had been lame from birth. Reverend Angel and I have read about it recently. Peter just looked at him and said, "Get up." And then he reached his hand out to him and lifted him. The man had never walked. But he got up and he followed them into the temple, leaping and dancing and praising God. I always loved that story. Spoken word. Okay, I can hear y'all thinking. "Yeah, right," you say. Sure, all this is true for God and Jesus, and maybe even for Peter and some of the apostles, but my words don't have that kind of power. Really? Are you sure? Well, I think we should talk about it a little bit, and I hope you will think with me as we go through this morning. But first, let's pray. God, I pray that the words of my mouth and the meditations of all of our hearts will truly be acceptable to you. And may they serve as a reminder to each of us that our words have power, because you are our rock, our strength, our Redeemer, in whom we live and move and have our being, and in whose name we speak. Amen. I wonder if you've ever heard of, or maybe you've read, a little book called The Four Agreements. Just a show of hands, anybody familiar with that book? Yes! We did it. Reverend Adrian actually taught it for a group one time in Virginia. But even MCC Richmond had used that book prior to my coming as their interim for a book study. And if you recall the very first agreement in that book, it says that we are to be impeccable with our word. You remember that? Be impeccable with your word. I believe that this is the first spiritual agreement we make with God precisely because words have power. Our words have far more power than we think. We often create our own reality, our own consequences and experiences by the very words we say. Oftentimes, it's kind of unconscious without really grasping it at the time that we're saying something, that we're projecting it onto reality. But it's true. Some of you in this room are old enough, like me, to remember a comedian named Flip Wilson. Don't raise your hands. Oh, I caught you raising it anyway. One of Flip Wilson's alter egos was a character named Geraldine, you remember. And Geraldine had a lot of lines that got repeated several times, and one of her famous lines was, "What you see is what you get, honey." Some of you remember. Others of you are too young. Don't worry about it. It was a funny show. But what you see is what you get. That's what a lot of people believe. And maybe some of you who are pretty straightforward would agree and say that about yourself. The way you present yourself is the way you really are. So when you meet somebody, what you see is what you get. But my older sister, her name is Eleanor, gave me a little book one time, and the title of that book said, "What You Say is What You Get." Think about that one. What you say is what you get. This is a very insightful little book. I don't remember the author now, and I haven't run across it as we have been unpacking. I'm sure I will, and maybe I'll bring it and share it with you sometime. But I learned a lot from that book, and I learned a lot in therapy some years ago, too. It seems that many psychotherapists and other modern social scientists tell us that we often bring bad things on ourselves by saying that it's coming, by thinking about it so much, you know, over and over and over and over. These things come from what we believe and what we think, for surely our thoughts become our words. Am I right? So there is no such thing as mere words. Our words have power for real. Power over us and power over our circumstances. This all reinforces the need for us to be impeccable with our word. If you can accept this principle as truth, from our therapists and other social scientists, then surely, 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 you can believe God and the testimony of the Holy Scriptures. We need to learn afresh the truth of how we can use our words as an instrument of our faith to open up God's abundant blessings. Faith-filled words can open up the windows of heaven so that God, Abba, our Creator, can pour out blessings that there'll hardly be room enough to receive. Prophet Micah shared that information with us. We are already, that is right now, we are the children of God, the sons and daughters of God. We belong to the Holy One of Israel, both by creation, because God made us, we belong to God, and by regeneration. Some of y'all may not like that word so much or remember it or know it because it's one of those old theological words. Regeneration. We are made in the image of God. This we know and understand. But we are being conformed to the image of Christ daily by the power of the Holy Spirit, resulting in our makeover, if you will, regeneration. This is how we are being brought into an awareness of our eternal connection to God, to the divine. It is because we are in Christ and Christ is in us that we have the Almighty as our individual and invisible means of support. God is our source. We are now the children, the offspring of God, and we are co-heirs with Jesus, our elder brother, to all that God has as our eternal parent. We have it too. We have direct access to it. This includes God's supernatural power. That's why I believe what you say is what you get. Remains a fact, however. We cannot really get away from this world while we're here. We're still living in the world, and that means we still function by natural laws. What goes up pretty much will come down, says the law of gravity. There are some other laws of physics and aerodynamics that we just abound by. But we have a second set of laws at our disposal as believers. We have the right as God's heirs to function according to God's supernatural laws. And these supernatural laws transcend God's natural laws. Natural laws come from God, there's no doubt about that. But supernatural laws also come from God, and they transcend God's natural laws. We don't need to know all the details about how supernatural things work in order to just trust and obey. Trust God and go for it. That's all we have to do. Most of us don't really understand the first thing about aerodynamics or the concept of lift and how it keeps a plane in the air. I know I don't get it, but I still get on a plane and go from place to place, trusting God I'm going to get there. But that's true. We take for granted so many things, and we do a lot of things that we don't understand, but yet we'll come to church and say, well, I don't understand that scripture, so I'm not going to go for that. Well, try it. You'll like it. I want to just lift up three things very quickly that I hope will help us have a greater assurance about our words and how they do have power. And I want to help us maximize the power of our words. Our words have the greatest power when they are in agreement with God's words. That makes sense? But we agree with God and what God is saying about us and the world, then our words do indeed have power. They are based on God's words. And agreeing with God is simply saying the same thing that God has already said. Whether we're talking about our health and our healing or our finances or our calling or our goodness as a person before God or even the answer to our prayers. I think we have to start by agreeing that we are exactly who God says we are. We are God's own offspring, born of the Spirit. We are God's new creation. Old things have passed away. Scripture says, behold, all things are made new. We are more than conquerors in Christ. You got to believe it. We are God's beloved. We find all this truth about us in the scriptures. We need to agree with God that we have the things that God says we already have. We have God's unconditional love and acceptance. That's what empowers us to come out when you think about it. We have the peace of Christ deep down inside. We have the power and authority of Christ to ask for whatever it is that we need. Although we own these things, they belong to us right here, right now. Yet and still, we must take possession of them by our words. If you don't ever say it, you may never believe it. And if you don't believe it, you can't see it coming back to you. Like some of the old saints in the church used to say, what we confess, we will possess. Yeah, some of you heard that. If we speak or repeat only the negative stuff that the so-called experts, maybe a doctor or surgeon or maybe even an accountant or somebody about our finances, if we listen only to them and don't take into account what God said, then we are kind of missing out. We need to remember who we are in Christ. When Jesus was tempted by the evil one to agree that he was hungry or in need of anything, Jesus spoke up and said, it is written. You remember that? Yes. It is written, I must not live by bread alone. It is written, I must not put God to a foolish test. It is written, I must worship God and God alone. Likewise, when the powers of this world try to tell us that we are weak or sick or hungry or poor, we can say, it is written, my God shall supply all my needs out of God's storehouse in heaven. God is my shepherd. I shall not want. That means I don't have to want for anything. All that I am and all that I need is found in Christ, and God will provide it. We have powerful words, and we need to remember them and make sure that our words are agreeing with God. We can also use our words, or because rather our words have power, we must be sure that we use our words in praising God. We have to agree with God, but we have to praise God too. We do this by affirming out loud all the great qualities of God that bless us. Great and mighty are you, O God. Creator, you are wonderful, marvelous. Even the scripture uses that word too. Great is your faithfulness, O God, unto me. Our God is an awesome God. We sing it sometimes, who reigns from heaven above with wisdom, power, and love. And so I love you, oh my God. We have to speak these things if we want to experience these things and know them beyond reproach. If you can't think up enough words on your own to praise God, just pick up your Bible or hymn book. That'll work too. Or sometimes pull out your gospel CD. That might help. Whatever you need to do, find where somebody is praising God and adopt those words for yourself. Praise God from whom all blessings flow. The Almighty heals the brokenhearted and binds up the wounded. Sing to God with thanksgiving. God's steadfast love continues forever. The psalmist says that in more than one number of the psalm. We can find so many wonderful words and even divine instructions for praising God throughout the psalms and other scriptures, other parts of the Bible. Let us praise the name of Jehovah, for God alone is exalted and God's glory is above the heavens and the earth. Sing unto Almighty God a new song and offer praise in the congregation. That means all us up in here. Praise God. Give thanks and praise for all God's mighty deeds according to God's excellent greatness. Let everything that has breath praise God. Yeah. It is abundantly clear that God wants us to use our words to offer powerful praise every time we gather for worship, and even when we kneel at home and worship. Yes. What you say is what you get. What you say will be your experience. Another way of putting this I'm reminded of another scripture. God inhabits the praises of God's people. You remember that? Yes. If God is inhabiting your praise, you got to speak that praise for the presence of God to be felt and known and experienced. What you say is what you get. I love the song I heard the choir, we all sang a little while ago, Pleasing God. Everyone who loves God wants to please God. This is the motivating force in the Christian life. And whatsoever we ask, we receive of God because we keep God's commandments and do the things that are pleasing in God's sight. From a little verse in the book of 1 John. Chapter 3, verse 22. In the book of Hebrews, chapter 11, we read about Enoch. Some of you remember that name. But Enoch did not see death. He was taken alive because, scripture says, he pleased God. It was by his faith. That whole chapter is about faith. Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. This same passage of scripture tells us that without faith, it is impossible to please God. Since I know it takes faith to please God, I want to boldly live my life by faith. Speaking through the written word, the living word tells me that I have been crucified with Christ, so that it is no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me. And the life I now live in this body, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself up for me. From Galatians 2:20. Powerful passage of scripture I memorized a long time ago from a different translation maybe, but I know that this is real. Christ gave himself up for me, for my deliverance, for my healing, for the perfecting of my soul and yours too. God in Christ gave himself up for me. Christ gave himself up so that I could be free, so that I could be out, so that I could be bold and unashamed. Christ gave himself up so that I could be me and you could be you and we can all be free. Hallelujah. So I want to be careful with my words, for my words have power and so do yours. Scripture makes it abundantly clear that we are responsible for our words. You heard the scriptures read. Any prophet, God gives them a word and they sit on it and don't say it, look out. God say, I'm going to hold you accountable. And the reverse is true. Pretending to be a prophet, saying stuff, saying that God said it, but you know God ain't told you that. Say you might. No, might. God says you will die. We have to be careful with our words. We are responsible. Listen to these little jewels from wisdom writings mostly. A wholesome tongue is a tree of life, but perverseness therein is a breach in the spirit. That's from Proverbs 15, a breach in the spirit, a broken spirit. Set a watch, O God, before my mouth. Keep the door of my lips, from Psalm 141. Pleasant words are a honeycomb, sweet to the soul, and health to the bones. Book of Proverbs again. Wise saying. If you keep watch over your mouth and tongue, you keep your soul from troubles. Proverbs 21:23. Every idle word that people speak and every idle word that people speak, they shall give an account of them on the day of judgment. For by your words you shall be justified, and by your words you shall be condemned. Matthew 12:36-37. Those were the words of Jesus if you got a red letter Bible. But both of our scripture readings today dealt with the power of the spoken word. Whether those words are spoken by an ancient prophet or by Jesus or by us. Our words also have great power. We are told that the power of life and death are in the tongue. Check that out. The power of life and death are in the tongue. I want to urge you always to speak life to yourself and to others, to this gathered congregation. Speak life into every situation you face. For we are told to speak those things that are not as though they were. Yeah, you know that. When we pray, we should say, Amen. We must count it done. Believe it, expect it, live it as if it already exists. That's what that scripture means. There is a contemporary gospel singer and songwriter by the name of Anita Wilson. And she has recorded a song that states this truth more clearly than anything I've heard recently. And these are her words. It's done. Yeah. What I shall be, I already am. It's done. Hallelujah. God has worked it out on my behalf. My eyes may not see it, but by faith I receive it. It will manifest, or it's already done. Those words can stick to your bones, and they can help you think about what you're saying every time you open your mouth. She goes on and she just sings. That's basically the whole song. She sings it several different times, going up in a higher key, higher key, higher key. It's awesome. You got to hear that sometime. But beyond the song, when she gets to the tail end of it, she gives a little advice. And she says, we ought to just praise God in advance. If you don't see it right now, praise God in advance. Worship in advance. It's coming. What you prayed for, it will manifest. She says, my healing, my victory, it's already done. Your healing, your victory, it's already done. Favor for my neighbor and favor for me, she says, it's done. It's done. It will manifest. It's already done. The CD is called Worship Soul. She really is kind of like a gospel jazz singer. You can pull it up on YouTube or something or check it out. Anita Wilson, Worship Soul. Song is called It's Done. When you look her up, download it, and listen to it, this song is going to bless you. Let it bless you and remind you at the same time of the power of your words to create your reality, your experience. Amen. Amen.